Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. We talk about all things RuPaul's Drag Race, and we're so excited today. And by we, I mean me and America's sister, the queen of show business, Lonnie Love.
I am so excited because you know what? The thing about Alec Mappa Squirrel Friends is that he watches all of the drag races.
I don't do anything else.
And he was so excited about the UK, you know, drag. I'm like, you know, because I'm an American girl. I'm like, I love the American ones. Mm-hmm. But Alec has been talking about the Drag Race UK and has been raving about all the queens, but especially this queen named Dani Beard. So we're going to surprise Alec because we have Dani Beard today.
Dani Beard, bearded queen, winner of season 4, is here today, Lonnie.
I started watching.
Yeah, and?
You were right.
Yeah.
I mean, this queen is like, now I have to go back and watch the old episodes at the very, very beginning. Because when I say the looks, phenomenal. The personality, the inspiration, the stories. Yeah. I mean, just a great, great winner for UK.
This is a great season. I'm going to name drop. Last time I saw Michelle Visage, UK season 4 hadn't come out yet. And she told me, I'm not going to tell you anything, but you are going to fall in love with this cast. And this cast, you know, they had the three top queens were Cheddar Gorgeous, amazing looks, Black Peppa, supermodel girl that I was telling you about, absolutely gorgeous, and Dani Beard. Now, you were in the United Kingdom not that long ago. You were in Ireland.
Yes.
Have you been to London? Have you spent some time in the United Kingdom?
I love London. I love Europe. But London is very, very, to me, they're more outgoing with their fashion, much more experimental, alternative. And that's what I saw this season on Drag Race UK.
You're absolutely right.
I was just amazed at the fashions. And I'm like, I gotta go all the way back and look at the other seasons.
Right.
Because
it's
just phenomenal.
What were you doing in London? Were you working or were you on vacation?
Yes. No, I was working in London. Mm-hmm. I was on the West End. I was in a play. And
nice. I didn't know you were in the West End.
I was in the West End of London.
Oh.
I was there.
Wow.
And it was a great experience. And, you know, I met the wonderful people of the UK and, you know, I met a lot of queens over there. And there's something about them when we talk about entertainment and, and loving entertainment and knowing who they are and not trying to be something that they see everybody else being. Yeah. They're themselves. They're individuals, if I can say it like that. And that's what makes them unique. And that's what makes this UK version is totally different from the American series. And it was just a great series. So
wait, back it up here for a second. You were in a play in the West End. I want to know what play it was, how long it ran.
Oh, this was like 10 years ago, Alex.
Yeah?
Yes. It was like Over the Moon. And it was me and it was some young up-and-coming performers, and I just, you know how you just do things because you're like, I never been to London. I ain't never been nowhere. I ain't been out the projects.
Yeah. and the West End is Broadway. You can't get higher than that in theater.
That was their Broadway, and it was an experience. I have to get back there. I've done comedy over in London, and their sense of humor is very different.
Yes, it's very. They say they take the piss out of everything.
Yeah.
They're very self deprecating, and they also don't like when people put on airs.
Exactly, and that's why I killed over there. Because I'm very self deprecating.
Right.
So.
I also love how diverse London is. Like every time I get off the plane there, I'm like, this is a black city. This is an Indian city. This is an African city. Like it's really like I'm always like so surprised and delighted by it. It's so much fun over there.
Well, our producers were able to snag Dani Beard actually performing, but she took time out of her performance to talk to us. So that's why I'm excited. I can't wait for this interview. I know Alec is going to lose it. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back with Danny Beard.
Woo!
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Squirrel Friends, we have royalty with us today.
Royalty.
She is hilarious, fashionable, and is the first bearded queen to win a season of Drag Race. And looking at the Zoom video we're using right now, she doesn't look that orange today. Please welcome to the program UK's Next Drag Superstar, the winner of season 4, Danny Beard.
Danny!
Hello! How are you guys?
Good.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Congratulations.
We have become big fans watching you on the UK. Actually, Alec was the one. He watches all of the drag races. And when he told me about you, I actually started watching to really
watch. Yes. Thank you so much. Honestly, and I've seen you on the show as well. And I never thought anyone like me would ever be on this show. So to hear people say, not only have they watched it or like because of me or they've watched it and they love me, it's like, it's crazy because Drag Race shows the person behind the persona.
Right.
And people get to fall in love with that side of you. And that's something in my 10-year career as a queen I've never had. So it has been the most crazy. How many weeks is, I don't even know how many weeks it's been. I've gone straight on the road. I don't even know my arse from my elbow. Can I swear on here?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. This is.
I won't drop the C bomb. Don't worry, guys.
Okay.
Quite clean.
Listen, we had Ben de la Creme on the show, and he was talking about how in the beginning of drag, people just did it because they loved it. There was never any expectation to be famous. And you said yourself that now you never thought somebody like you would ever be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How has the experience been since the show aired for you? Was it immediate, the response?
I'm exactly the same as Bendela. Like, the reaction has been crazy. I didn't expect to have messages from all around the world, you know, new fans from all around the world. That is still so nuts to me. It's really nuts to me that I'm going shopping in like my local shops and the people know me. And it's, I'm on tour at the moment across the UK and I'm everywhere I go. People are like, oh my God, it's you. Like the amount of people that watch Drag Race in the UK, it's surpassed Drag Race, just Drag Race fans now. And
really?
It's like middle-aged mums and grannies. And I've literally just come upstairs from a meet and greet to join this wonderful call. And the variation in people is crazy. It's touching so many people and so many people get something from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly been a pleasure to do. And I don't think my feet have touched the ground yet. I really don't think my feet have touched the ground yet. It's been next level.
Well, let's talk about your experience on Drag Race. What's your favorite memory? I know you have a lot, but what's one of your favorites?
Do you know what? I love doing the Rusical. That Rusical week was one of the best episodes. To sit back and watch as a fan of the show anyway, mm-hmm. was great to watch. To be a part of it, when I say the rest of this cast this year was the most talented, I'm not just saying it for effect. I don't think there was a single bad performance.
Mm.
I think the episode as a whole was great. The runway theme was great. I got to do my favorite runway, which was the Audrey 2 plant look.
Unbelievable. That was like next level. It was like our special guest on the Muppet Show is Danny Beard. Like I fully expected you to come out with Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy at any moment. It
honestly,
was unbelievable.
Very kind. Thank you. And then I think as well, the lip sync on that episode was so dramatic with like Dakota and Baby, and then everyone thought Dakota was leaving and then Baby did leave. It just gave me everything as a Drag Race fan that you want from a Drag Race episode, and then to be in it was as well just next level.
I'm interested in what made you want to audition for Drag Race.
Yeah,
I had a very successful career here in the UK as a cabaret queen. I'd done Britain's Got Talent years ago, and that opened lots of doors and that gave me a great platform. But honestly, I was still not getting the opportunities that the Drag Race girls were getting. And I knew, oh God, I hope this doesn't sound big-headed, I knew that I could do the job just as good, if not better, than some people.
That's confidence. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you can't beat them, join them. And I was nervous. I thought, am I going to get asked to shave and booted out in episode two? You know, is it going to go tits up? But I think you've just got to have confidence within yourself and just go in there. And I enjoyed every moment. And I think everyone around me did. And I think I just felt like it was my time. I've been honest as well in the past. Like, this was my third time applying for the show. Like, I really wanted it this time. And I also had said to myself, this is the last time. Because I found myself getting into this pattern of applying for the show, putting everything into this application process, being really down that I didn't get it. And it's the first two times, it almost knocked my confidence a bit. What's wrong with me? I'm not good enough.
Right.
The reality is, it's none of the things you think it is when you're applying. This was the first tape I put in that wasn't that I'd paid someone to professionally edit. This was my tape. I did the questions the first time round, just answered them in my room. And then again, I answered them in my room in drag. I think this was the first time I really showed the casting producers who I was, really, if I'm honest. Because it was the time I was like, this is me. If you don't like it, I'm done.
Right. You know what? That's the thing I was about to say. A lot of queens come onto the show and it takes them like a couple of episodes to warm up or to come out of their shell or to kind of display who they were. And I felt like what I appreciated about you, and I wrote you on Instagram like a stalker during the show, is that your vulnerability. You were confident in such a way where it wasn't, you were confident but not cocky. You were competitive in a way that didn't diminish anybody else.
Lovable.
There was always, and you did this thing that Bianca Del Rio does, is that Bianca Del Rio can be an insult queen all she wants and take everybody down, but she doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Yeah.
Do you know, the intention behind it is to entertain. It's never to be evil. And you kind of, at the very, very last episode, you said, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And I think that's what shone through with you. Were you always like that?
Yeah. If I'm honest, I'm firstly, thank you for comparing me to someone like Bianca, because she's someone that I've looked up to for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And actually, I got a chance to work with Bianca a couple of times years ago. And one of the things I learned from her then was she was so gracious and lovely to every person she worked with.
Lovely.
Everyone backstage. And I just thought, what a nice person. And then I stepped onto the stage and she read me to filth. And that's what I do in my shows. You know, I read the audience, I read myself, I read celebs. And I just thought, that is the magic formula. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gave me more confidence to be shady, because I knew I was a nice person, like she is. And like, I still now at my gigs make sure at the end of the show, I go to the bar staff and just say thank you and say thank you to all the staff. And I just think little things like that leave you in people's memory. And I did the same on set. But like Rue said, you know, she said, everyone loves working with you here. Like, you come in, you're nice to everyone. You try and remember everybody's name. You say good morning, good night. You turn up and do your job and everyone enjoys working with you. And she went, never lose that, because you will have a very long career in show business.
Exactly.
Keep that up. And I remember sat there and that's when I thought, oh God, I'm in the Tic Tac chat. I've made it to this point. RuPaul's telling me this. I was like, shit, I've done it.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, whatever happens, RuPaul's just validated everything and made me realize that Drag Race is a dream making machine. This is only the start.
That's right.
So I was just so overwhelmed, and I still have, like I said before, my feet haven't touched the ground. So many amazing opportunities are coming in for me, things I've dreamed of doing for years, and I can never be more thankful for the opportunity. Honestly, it's changed. I'll cry now. You're gonna get tears out of me.
Honestly, you're like me. You're
Lottie
like me,
cries
Danny.
At the drop of a hat. Lottie's a big crybaby.
But we gotta talk about these looks, because Alec every week was talking about the look. Alec, obsessed. What was your favorite look?
Well, you know, everybody loves the Little Shop of Horrors one. That was a really big showstopper. I kind of loved, the biggest trick with Drag Race is making this new.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you could come out and if it's like if you emulate any other queen at any other time, it's like, well, she's like doing Trixie Mattel or she's doing so and so. And I never felt that about you.
Yeah.
Right.
When you stepped outside of your comfort zone and did the blue ruffle dress without the white makeup.
Oh,
exquisite. And you had this way of like, you have a beard. That's the original thing. Nobody's ever been a bearded queen who's ever won before. But I didn't notice the beard after a while. Like even though in that ruffle thing, you kind of reinvented the wheel about like, what is drag? You know,
that was one of
my favorites.
Yeah. What was your favorite look?
Yeah. What was your favorite?
Rue said the exact same. It just never got shown. So that's really interesting to hear you say.
Well, that's what Squirrel Friends is for. Yeah. We pick up the slack.
You know what I mean, though? But honestly, girls, the plant was my favorite look. And I knew it was going to be going into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I probably could have bought a brand new car instead of that plant, but I just wanted to just do this ridiculous thing.
It's iconic.
I really love the neon look, like the Juno Birch alien inspired. Mm-hmm. I felt really like cunty doing that. Can I say that? I just did.
You just did.
And maybe the ruffle look, because so many people come up to me and say the same, like, you look so pretty.
Yeah.
I never see myself as a pretty drag queen. That's not the kind of drag that personally interests me to do to myself. Mm-hmm. I think when I did it, I was shocked.
I'm a pretty girl, Mama.
I got emotional.
Yeah.
I was like, I look pretty. I was like, and stood in the mirror to the girls and they were like, get your outfit on. And I was like, no, I look really pretty.
You were so pretty. You were gorgeous. It made me go out and buy a corset. I'm like, okay, look, let me get my fat ass in a corset. Like, Alex, come help me tie this up.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
You really
have you been out in it yet?
She can't breathe. You really kind of broke the mold this season of like, changed the ideas of like, who can win. And I love it when people kind of like break apart the series about like, Jinx Monsoon did that too, kind of changed your idea of like, what is a drag superstar? And I love you talking about your family and Liverpool. And I've never been to Liverpool, but I was looking at the pictures online today and some YouTube videos. It seems like a pretty rough maritime town. And a lot of drag comes out of there. Can you explain the kind of juxtaposition between this kind of rough sea town and drag?
It's exactly what it is. Mm. What you've hit the nail on the head. And I think with Liverpool, when people go on a night out in Liverpool, if they've got 50 quid, they spend $49.99. on the outfit, but they'll look that good, all the boys will buy them drinks. I'm talking about the girls here. And yes, they're all bright orange. But we're all the first person to take the piss out of ourselves.
Yes.
We will shade ourselves first before anyone else. And I think it gives us funny bones.
Mm.
And it means we can do it to other people, which people love in drag. Like, life's not serious. And some pretty dark times have happened in my life, and there's always a way that we find the funny.
Yeah.
And my whole family's like it. Like, my dad's like it. My mum's like it. We're all like it. We're all really funny.
The story about your dad, I love your dad, and how he just did. He said, I just don't want you to be orange. I don't care if you're gay.
Yeah. And honestly, that really sums him up. And he's this big butch fireman. Ex-fireman, he's retired now, God bless him.
God bless that.
And I don't know why I ever had an issue telling him I was gay, because he didn't care. And he even came into my room and was like, Dan, do you think I've not known my whole life?
Right.
Like, you used to walk around the house in your mum's heels and get a chopstick out of the drawer singing Bibbidi Bobbidi Bob. It's like, we've known for years. This isn't a shock. And then I was angry that it wasn't a shock. I wanted it to be this big news I was breaking.
I wanted to steal the show here.
Yeah.
And your mom sounds lovely as well. I love the story that you told in the final episode about getting roughed up at your school in such a violent way.
Uh-huh.
And your parents, not everybody's lucky enough to have parents around them who
that's
would
supportive.
Kind of put you first and get you to a safer place. And that's another miracle about you, that you had such a rough beginning with people being so mean. What advice would you give to young queens out there who are experiencing a rough time? Because, you know, they're listening to the show and watching Drag Race and everything.
It's the oldest, cheesiest saying in a way. It's become a bit redundant because it's said so much, but it gets better.
Mm.
And I remember being at the point where I thought it never would get better. Mm. I remember thinking the bullies made me get... I went through this emotional phase of thinking, these bullies have made me gay. Because they told me I was gay before I knew I was gay.
Me too.
So I remember that confusing stage in life thinking, I hate these people. They've made me this. And I had so much hate growing up. And as soon as I started falling in love with myself, it really was when I started drag, because I just created this personality, this person that was always inside, but this mask and this armor of the outfit gave me that ability to shine it through. I got in drag, the more confident I got out of drag. And really, I'm the exact same person in and out of drag, just I look a little bit better now, I think. And I think that's where I've come, you know?
Well, let's talk about the drag, because you decided to keep your beard.
Yeah.
And what made that decision to keeping the beard?
Now, so many people say bearded drag is lazy, you can't be bothered shaving, and they're right. I couldn't be all shaving at first. That was the honest truth. I was like, I'm not shaving. I want to get a dick appointment at the weekend. That's where I was at in uni. And I hated it, and I hated wigs. And honestly, I was obsessed with like Lee Bowery and the Club Kids of the 80s. And the biggest thing I learned from them was do it your way. So I left the beard and I didn't wear wigs, and it just became my thing. And actually now I realize it is actually harder having a beard, because when I have shaved, that makeup goes on so smooth and so quick over your chin area.
Right.
When you've got a beard, honestly, you have to colour it. And even when I do it the way I do it now, which is kind of, you only see it when you get very close up, you colour it, then you powder it, and then you have to comb it all through. There's a full process. Then you have to make up, wipe the brush. It takes so much longer to do drag with a beard. So now I would say to people who think it's lazy, you've got no idea. But originally it was because I was lazy.
Because when you did the ruffle look, you had to change the color. That was a different process, right?
So that was a makeup that turns hair to look bleached. It's a product you can get in the UK. You can use it for eyebrows, and you comb it through your beard, kind of like a mascara. So I did that over the beard to bleach my beard the same as my hair without actually having to put peroxide on my beard.
Got it. Okay.
Oh. Wow. You know, what I love about the show is it gives us in America an idea of, you know, drag in different areas. And it seems like after four seasons of UK Drag Race, what I'm getting from the English queens is there's a real premium on being an entertainer.
Yes.
Like here, there are look queens, there are dancing tweens, but I always hear them say on Drag Race UK, I'm a cabaret entertainer, or I do a peer show. Can you give us an idea of what the drag shows are like in the UK? What we would expect to see as tourists?
It's so different depending on where you go as well. Like so many different scenes have completely different styles of drag. So first off, places like Birmingham, you can expect your Ginny Lemons, very character-based drag. Manchester is very like New York. I think Manchester's like New York. London's a bit like LA. This is what I've heard from the American queens. So this isn't my personal opinion because I don't know that for a fact. Manchester, everyone's got a very strong brand, know who they are, but they're not necessarily all entertainers. Some of them might be club hosts or do lip sync through the night. And then right across the UK, you've got a cabaret scene of about 30, 40 queens are the core of it.
Right.
Maybe not even that many. And they do the circuit. I was part of that circuit. So there's queens on there like Mary Mack, Lavoie.
I know Lavoie. I did some cruises with her. I performed with her. She's great.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's people like that. And again, Mary does the cruises. And we basically will go and do an hour show in a venue. And they have these venues all over the UK. Probably the most iconic one is the Royal Vauxhall Tavern in London.
Yes.
And that's where we've all worked and really cut our teeth.
I saw the Dame Edna experience there when I was there. That again, queen. Yeah, wonderful.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's part of that same cabaret circuit. So that's the real traditional circuit of drag in the UK.
Okay.
And then it breaks off into, you've got Insta queens like Ellis Atlantis, who've come off like Glow Up, which is reality show over here for makeup artists. And she's just next level, but doesn't really leave the house. So there's just so many different kinds of drag. But I think if you're in the UK, try and see a drag cabaret show. They're always about 45 minutes to an hour. Most major cities have venues that do it. And it's usually on a Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, it sounds like Provincetown.
Right. I've never been. Listen, I can't wait to come to America. It's in the works for next year.
Oh, good.
I'm going to see as much drag and eat as much food as I can.
And we cannot wait. But something else, we can listen to you right now. You have a podcast called The Gossip Gaze. Tell us about it.
Yes. It's me, my best Judy. He is a DJ from the gay scene. And we've been best mates for years, and it's our real relationship. And it's weekly. We've just been taken on by a production company, which is amazing. Again, yes. The power of Drag Race. And we record it in Media City in the UK, which is where like BBC and everything is. So it's a bit fancy now. But the premise of it is we speak about what we've done that week. We catch up with our lives with each other. And then we answer things like listeners' letters. So every week somebody writes in with a problem. And then we have like snack of the week. We're food obsessed. We're two chunky girls that love
food. Love it. I love it.
So it's just basically whatever we want to talk about. And it's growing strength on strength. We've got fans all over the world. We've got people in America and they know we love snacks. We've been sent like boxes of American snacks.
Wow. That's so cool.
So it's a great little community within our community.
And we don't have a lot of time left with you, but I wanted to ask this. As the winner of UK Drag Race, you get a digital series produced by WOW. Have you started working on that?
Yeah.
And what is it?
Yeah, what's it going to be?
So we have, I don't want to say anything too soon because we're pitching it to some TV channels. But what I can say is it's not, if it goes ahead, what my ideas and their ideas are, it's not going to be anything that's been done before. Mm. I absolutely love WOW Presents and I love WOW. But I said, this isn't a WOW show. There's no green screen. There's no star cloth. I want money. I want money putting into it.
That's what you do.
And you know what? I think they want the same for it. So it's going to be very, very different than what's been before. And it's hopefully going to be on TV properly here in the UK as well, which is a proper first. So I'm really excited for that.
We look forward to that. So you're on tour right now. So what tour are you on and what can we expect next?
So I'm currently on a Christmas tour called Chante You Slay. Me and previous winner Lawrence Cheney are hosting. Mm-hmm. We go right up until Christmas Eve. So I've literally, I think I was crowned a couple of Thursdays ago and I went on a massive UK and European tour on the Friday.
Yeah,
I mean, I love working and I was like, is this the right thing to do? But I've got to go to basically every city in the UK and meet all these amazing people that have been telling me they've watched me for the last 10 weeks and they're fans of mine now. So what better gift than to meet them people, you know? What's next? So much.
Yes.
Lots of television working here in the UK, which has always been a dream. Lots more live work, which is always a dream.
All the queens in UK seem to go directly into television, onto a television show. Like, you guys are all over the place, like, immediately.
Yeah, I think there's a real demand for drag here, and there's a demand for good entertainers. Mm-hmm. And Drag Race is such a great platform for that. We show so many different skills. So it's a TV producer's wet dream, really. So I'm really lucky to have had some good airtime. And yeah, lots of nice things have happened.
We are so happy.
Also, I have to apologise. If I'm out of breath, I'm still sat here in my course. I feel like I'm going,
don't die.
But I'm sat here in my corset.
Oh my God.
Fabulous.
Alec always has one closing question for all of our queens. So go ahead, Alec.
Okay, so I always feel like drag is like a superhero identity. You know, it's like there's you offstage and then drag becomes this identity you assume, like almost like a superhero. It's like Clark Kent turns into Superman. And so in drag, what would you feel your superpower is?
Wow. In drag, I think my superpower is, I don't know how I'd say this, but it's almost like memory loss. No, that's a bad way to say it. What I'm trying to say
dementia.
Is I think when I... dementia. The power of dementia. I think I seem to have this ability that people forget everything that's going on in their life for the 40 minutes they're at my show. And it's escapism. It's like the power of escapism.
We need that.
And even for me, and everyone needs a bit of escapism. And maybe all drag does it, and that's why it's so great. But I really feel it when the audience all just live in that moment. And I think that's really my power. And I do that through insulting them as well.
Yeah.
So I must be doing something all right if I'm telling people that they need to get a haircut and they still come away loving me. So honestly, the power of escapism. Let's go with that.
That's wonderful.
I was thinking on my feet.
Listen, Danny, we have enjoyed you so much.
Yeah. Oh, you're delightful. Thank you. You're going to work forever because yes. You have an act that you can take anywhere. I mean, Bianca's selling out arenas all over the world because she has an act. Yeah. I think the real test of a queen is like where they go after the show. And I'm not worried about you. You're gonna do great things.
Thank you.
Where can people find you on your socials?
You can find me at the Danny Beard across all socials. And you just reminded me, and I should have mentioned this for what's coming next. Mm. I'm on at the O2 Arena in London with Bianca Del Rio. I can't believe I forgot that. Yeah. Like, there's just so much happening. I just forgot casually that I'm appearing at the biggest venue in the whole of the country. Yeah, that's happening. And that's through Graham off the show. So Graham Norton's doing his variety show and he's asked for me to be on that bill. And
you know what? We got a merch idea for you.
Go on.
Beard maintenance tools.
Beard maintenance.
The Danny Beard beard kit.
Yes.
Yep. There you go.
Sell it every show.
The DBB. Okay. Sounds like a burger.
We love you, Danny. Thank you so much for your time.
Guys.
Can't wait to meet
you. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. We got to take a break, and we'll be right back after these important messages.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Wow, Lonnie, that was a great interview. What was your takeaway?
Very inspirational. What I saw on the show, I felt from the interview. And I really appreciate that Danny also gave us some insight. I mean, we got a lot of things. This is why we do this podcast, so that we can talk to people. And I think it's you, Alec. I think that they feel so comfortable with you that they're like, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I maybe shouldn't say it. Whenever they say we should say it, it's because of Alec. So thank you. What did you think of it?
I think you're right. It's because of me. No, you know what? We talk a lot on the show about the power of being yourself.
Yes.
The power of being your genuine self and how, ironically, through drag, through dressing up and putting on this makeup, you kind of discover this essence about yourself.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's what Danny brought to the program today. And I was so delighted to meet them. And that is the fun part of the show, is you get to be entertained by these people on the show and then you get to talk to them in real life. And that's always cool.
I also thought what was interesting, Alec, was that she was saying how she auditioned 3 times and this was going to be her last.
Mm.
Also, when we talk about the power of Drag Race, you know, she's been doing drag, but, you know, maybe her career was kind of stalling.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's another reason why she wanted to do Drag Race, because she wanted to get her exposure up.
Take it to the next level.
But that tells you the power of RuPaul's Drag Race. What it does for people. It gives you that exposure. It gives you that inspiration. So it's just another reason why we have to support our queens and remember to tip our queens and love them on all the socials. Alec is no longer on Twitter, but he's still on Instagram and he still needs to get to 1 million by...
I'm scooting up there. I'm getting up there. I'm at 35,000 followers.
Oh, look at you. 35. You big 35,000. Okay. We're going to get you to 350 by 2024. Okay. I promise. You can reach him at Alec Mappa on Instagram. You can catch me on Instagram at Comic Lonnie Love. I'm still on Twitter. I'm trying to hang in there, y'all. At Lonnie Love. It's hard.
It is hard.
It is hard.
You know, and I left because, well, never mind. mind. With that, so we've had that conversation. You can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us. 5 stars, please, and tell a friend.
You can catch up on past episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race and All Stars on Paramount Plus. And you can also watch Drag Race UK on WOW Presents Plus.
Yeah, see you soon.
Bye.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.